Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to this holiest of weeks once more. Today, as we begin this program, I want to share with you a prayer in Magnificat at the end of the readings for morning prayer. It says this: Lord Jesus Christ, you endured every ill at the hands of your enemies for love of all peoples who were not yet your friends. Listen to that. Lord Jesus Christ, you endured every ill at the hands of your enemies for love of all peoples who were not yet your friends. Obedient to the Father's will, you walked into the darkness of death to open out before us the light of life. Take some time today to thank him for what he has done for us. Pope Emeritus Benedict says this about Judas that we will reflect on in today's readings. Judas is neither a master of evil nor the figure of a demoniacal power of darkness, but rather a sycophant who bows down before the anonymous power of changing moods. The anonymous power of changing moods. You know something's changed. You know something's different, but you don't know what it is. You get agitated or angry or frightened. Let me read that again. Judas is neither a master of evil nor the figure of a demoniacal power of darkness, but rather a sycophant. That's one who sucks out of someone else or something else. A sycophant who bows down before the anonymous power of changing moods and current fashion. How much are we subject to changing moods and current fashion? How rooted are we in Christ? Pope Benedict says, but it is precisely this anonymous power that crucified Jesus. For it was anonymous voices that cried, away with him, crucify him. The nameless crowd. Are you part of the nameless crowd? Or are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Where do you stand? From what do you draw your strength, your insight? Pay attention to that, brothers and sisters, because the time will come when we'll need to be very, very clear about who we are and the one to whom we belong. O God, who willed your Son to submit for our sake to the yoke of the cross, so that you might drive from us the power of the enemy, grant us, your servants, to attain the grace of the resurrection. That's what we want. God drives from us the power of the enemy if we cooperate, if we choose his values over our own, his priorities over our own. Doesn't mean you need to be in church every moment. That's not the point. The point is that you are living in the world, but you're not of it. Your agenda, your priorities are from God and from his word. What's the foundation? What's the basis of your life? Please, please, please pay attention to this. Otherwise, in some ways, your life becomes futile because it's not focused in the right place. First reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 to 9. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets or spitting. Here's the prophet Isaiah prophesying all of this long before the death of Jesus Christ. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let him confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? Is the Lord God your help? Is he the one to whom you turn? Psalm 69, O Lord, in your great love, answer me. Answer me. This is the lament of all of us who are trying to be disciples of Christ. For your sake I bear insult. Shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my mother's son, because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme you fall upon me. A follower of Christ has to be willing to endure a taste of what Jesus did for us, what he endured for us. Insult has broken my heart, and I am weak. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For consolers, not one could I find. Rather, they put gall in my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. It's hard some days following the Lord, but oh, brothers and sisters, the life with God, even the intimacy with God, for those who truly follow him, makes it all endurable. And it's only for a time that there may be a glorious eternity. Don't get taken in by the values of the world. They have no thought for eternal life. You and I, on the other hand, need to have eternal life in mind when we make decisions and set priorities. Who am I and where am I going? In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 14 to 25. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" What has captured Judas Iscariot? Wealth. He was always stealing from the alms, from the money that they collected to give to the poor. He was always stealing from it. Money, power. That's what he was looking for. Who is your God? Is it the God of heaven and earth? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your God something of this world that will not last, and in the end, if you totally sell out to it, can destroy you? Not that God wants that. And the moment we repent, he comes with grace and power. But we need to clearly see, brothers and sisters, what are the idols in our life? What are those things that cause us to at least make compromises and sometimes just outright turn away from God and choose whatever that worldly value might be? It's not too late here in Holy Week to say, "Lord, I'm guilty. I have sinned in this way. Lord, please help me to change." And he will. Matthew 26. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. He refused the look of love that Jesus gave him. He refused all the opportunities that God gave him to be honest with God. He turned away. He was totally immersed in money, love of money. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't sell your soul for a false idol. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." And he said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." And then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Do you see the pride? Do you see the arrogance? Do you see what sin does? It deafens, it blinds, it hardens. That's what happened here to Judas. "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Talk about boldness. And Jesus answered him, "You have said so." Brothers and sisters, this is one of those conversations that the dialogue back and forth there. Notice how blind and deaf Judas has become, how bold he's become, because he thinks he has it all in hand. And how quickly he despaired when he saw what happened. Please, please, look at your priorities. Be honest with yourselves. Make some decisions. St. Ambrose, and I don't have time to read all of this to you, but St. Ambrose made these comments. He said, "When we run well in the way, let us beware that the serpent may not lie hid anywhere in the path and undermine the footstep of the horse, that is, of our body, and suddenly throw the sleeping rider. For if we are vigilant, we ought to be on our guard in some measure and shun the bites of the serpent." What are the temptations in your life? When do you succumb to the bite of the serpent? Give your life to Jesus. Ask him to protect you. Ask him to guide you. Be ready to fight, but you will win because God will be on your side. St. Ambrose said, "Therefore, let the sleep of neglect, the sleep of the world, not overwhelm us. Let the sleep of wealth not overwhelm us. Lest it be said of us also, they have slept their sleep, and all the men of riches have found nothing. But there are indeed riders who sleep, of whom it is written, they have slumbered, who mounted on horses. Should avarice wound your heart, should lust inflame it, you are a sleeping rider, and on that account you are not able to restrain your body, that is, your horse." Quite an analogy, isn't it? "Keep watch then, so that even though you will be thrown, that is, even though you will die, you do not sleep. For those who sleep, their sleep find nothing, but do you await salvation from the Lord? And look for it to come, so that you may find the grace of the resurrection. Judas was sleeping, therefore he did not hear the words of Christ." Judas was sleeping, sleeping the sleep of wealth. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's get some things straight, all right, that we might be true disciples of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Be honest. God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.